Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's another hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686, the phone number. Hit me up on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Going football heavy in this hour of the program. In 20 minutes, we take you across the NFL, spotlighting key developments as training camps are heating up, when we're joined by our good friend Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. Let's jump right in. Talking college football, could be a historic day given all of the unknowns we're still contending with. Pleased to be joined by one of the best college football journalists in the nation. It's Brett McMurray, college football insider for the Stadium Network, part of the Sinclair Broadcast Group. Brett, I've enjoyed your work for many years. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy day for you. How are you?
Thanks, Brian. Good to talk to you.
Well, I guess we have to start in the Big Ten. And, man, you know better than I do, this is a muddled mess. So the conference has denied a report that university presidents voted officially, that could be the key word on Sunday, not to play this fall. Where do things stand in that conference as of right now, with another meeting taking place today?
Yeah, they're literally, presidents are meeting right now. So while we're, you know, talking, they could come out with what they have decided. But, you know, we should know something by the end of the day. And like you said, yesterday there were reports that the Big Ten had canceled the season, and then people walked back on that. Big Ten officials said that there was no vote taken. You know, so I think today it looks like, again, you never know when you get presidents in a room. The thinking is that, you know, obviously one of two things are going to happen. They're going to either cancel the fall season, or they're going to say, look, we need to delay a decision right now, or possibly we need to move the season back a couple more weeks. You've had a number of Big Ten schools that have been quarantined recently because of COVID outbreaks within the program. And so that would buy time for those guys to regroup, if you will. And then later today, out west, the Pac-12 presidents will meet. The thinking is that they could go ahead and make a decision on not playing this fall. That would be huge, because if either them or the Big Ten did it, they certainly would be the first Power Five conference to cancel fall football. And then after that, we'll have to see what happens with the ACC and Big 12. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has been steadfast in saying that, look, we're going to take time with this. We're not going to rush to a decision. They don't start their season until September 26th, so they're still 6 weeks away. But I think you're right. The big news is going to come out today, and that will be the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I do certainly think if the Big Ten does decide to cancel their fall season today, the Pac-12 will be in lockstep, and they will do so also after their president's meet.
Talking college football with Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium Network. Brett, before we get into all the potential dominoes after the Big Ten maybe going first, I don't want to lose sight of what's most important here. We're talking about player safety. So can you give us a little bit more context about the significant concerns we're hearing over virus-related heart issues and a real sense that because we don't know everything about COVID, there could be liability issues in the future, and we could be looking at severe health concerns for student-athletes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's been brought up a lot recently, the unknown long-term impacts of COVID. You've had, you know, current college football players that have had COVID and had heart issues. A player at Indiana University, another player at the University of Houston, and those are big concerns for the presidents. One comparison, it's obviously not an apples-to-apples comparison, but one source that I talked to referenced concussions and said 20 years ago, what do we know about concussions? What do we know about them now? So that's kind of the fear, is if they do go ahead and play and there are some long-term impact with COVID, certainly that would not be good. And to be very frank, there are liability concerns. You know, if you have five or six leagues that determine not to play, and you're one of the three or four leagues that go ahead and do play, and your season gets shut down in midstream because of outbreak on campus, because of football program had an outbreak, whatever the situation is, then you know you're going to get sued back to the Stone Age, because everyone's going to say you had the same information these other conferences did, who deemed it not safe to go ahead, yet you did go ahead and play. You did not care about the safety and health of your student athletes, which I don't believe that. I do believe they care about that. But the thing is, you know, if you go to any doctor, you go to one doctor and you don't like, you know, what he tells you, then you go get a second opinion. So that's the challenge now for all these conferences. They've got over a dozen doctors and medical advisors giving them all this information, and it's not exactly the same. You know, it varies, you know, from one scope to the other. So that's kind of everything they're trying to figure out right now, and it's not an easy decision.
I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. We're chatting with Brett McMurphy of Stadium with all of the significant developments still swirling around college football. Brett, let's go back to yesterday. A lot of impassioned pleas from marquee head coaches. What'd you make of Scott Frost in Nebraska saying that Nebraska would be open to playing outside of the Big Ten if the conference shuts it down? I can understand the emotion and desire, but there's no way that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, no, there's not. I mean, you know, I applaud Scott for his passion and everything, but yeah, there's legal issues that would prohibit that from happening. You know, the Nebraska, even Ohio State, Ryan Day kind of hinted at that. You know, they've got binding contracts with the Big Ten Network, with Fox, with ESPN, that will not simply allow them to go join another conference. You know, it's a lot different with Notre Dame because they were an independent. They had 100% sole control over their TV rights, so they can go to another league for 1 year. But yeah, it's not going to happen. And even Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner today, said, you know, yeah, it's not likely we would add another conference member just for one season. So, you know, if Nebraska wants to do that, you know, they're going to have to find some independents out there. And I think there's only about three left that haven't canceled. And I'm afraid those guys will be canceling soon, too.
Yeah, I don't see them playing BYU 10 times. Well, you alluded to the SEC. We know the Southeastern Conference is the closest thing we have on campus to pro football with the resources, facilities, and level of competition. Could you see the SEC going alone? I heard Greg Sankey today with Dan Patrick. He hedged a bit, but it sounded like, and you are a more educated listener than I do, sounded like he was reluctant to even discuss the possibility of the SEC being the only Power 5 conference playing in the fall.
Yeah, I think he said, you know, could we or will we? He said there's a difference
right
there. The way I would look at this is that, again, this is not what I think they should do or shouldn't do, but I think this is how the presidents will look at it. And kind of what I mentioned a little bit earlier is, if, you know, there are nine leagues that are not playing and you're the SEC, you've basically got built up all this equity. You're considered the best conference in college football right now. So you have two options. You go ahead and play, you win your conference, and hey, you win another national championship. Congrats. On the flip side, you go ahead and play. There's an outbreak on campus within the football program. You have to shut down the campus, you know, and then hopefully nothing serious happens to those infected. But if it does, then, you know, everyone's going to look at your conference and say, why in the world did you continue playing when everyone didn't? And so that's what the presidents have to decide. Do they want to take the risk to go ahead and play when no one else is playing and nothing goes wrong and we get through the entire season and everything's hunky-dory, or do we take the safe route and say, look, we tried, but we just can't do it because of these concerns. And you know, again, quite frankly, for legal issues, liability issues. And, yeah, so that's why I don't think you would see the SEC going at it alone. And Sankey, I think, kind of showed his cards there today when he referenced the difference between, you know, can we or will we?
I'm with you. I think he said it without saying it. Chatting with Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium. So if we're looking at college football in the spring, Brett, how challenging is that logistically? And what about the frontline players who are getting ready to move on to the NFL with the draft right now scheduled for the final week of April in Cleveland? Wouldn't we see potentially more opt-outs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've already seen dozens of players opt out just not to play in the fall. So if you move it to the spring, yeah, you're going to have, you know, it'll be a turnstile of players that won't be playing. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, we could sit here and talk for the next 48 hours about all the negatives about playing in the spring. And I would not dispute any one of those reasons that you brought up. But the alternative is no football at all. And that would be devastating. That would be catastrophic to these athletic departments. You would see Power Five League schools that would be dropping non-revenue sports. You would see the smaller Group of Five conferences. They may simply eliminate football or drop down to the FCS level. They certainly would lose a lot of non-revenue sports. So that's why if they can't play in the fall, even though most of the reasons for playing in the spring smell like bad fish, they're going to go ahead and try that because it is better than the alternative. And certainly, you know, we could sit here and list all the reasons why it won't work. But if that's their only option, it is their last resort, their Hail Mary, if you will, and they're going to try to make it work somehow, some way.
Brett, before I let you go, media interaction can be navel-gazing, but because we live in the age of social media, those opinions are crystallized in plain view. So I started 25 years ago, and there was a friendly competition between print and electronic media. Now it's all merged. I respect Joel Klatt of Fox Sports. I'm just picking Joel. We could pick other guys. But let's go with Joel because he was transparent on Twitter with this thought, referring to, quote, many in the college football media who have worked hard to push panic and fear. What do you think that's all about from his point of view?
I'm guessing that he thinks some national writers, columnists, reporters are trying to push a narrative. I wish Joel, and I love Joel. I respect him a great deal. I know him. Get along great with him. I wish he would specifically say who he's referring to. As far as what I do, I report the news. And if it's good news, I report good news. If it's bad news, I report bad news. And I don't put a lot of opinion in my stuff, specifically on Twitter for that reason. And I do that. And if people think because I break the story that the Mountain West and the Mid-American conferences aren't going to play football in the fall, if they think I'm being negative, well, I can't convince those people of that because I'm reporting they're not playing. That's news. That's information. So there are people out there that seem to, you know, beat the drum about certain things or angles that they believe in. And I've learned not to, not to follow those folks and just move on. So look, I know I've heard that from other people out there, but look, bottom line is there's not anybody that's involved, in the reporting side as far as college football that is rooting for there not to be a season because in essence, you're basically rooting that there's a possibility you could be in the unemployment line. So I find that line of thinking comical when you keep seeing the reactions on Twitter about, well, you're rooting for the season not to happen. You don't want it to happen. You know, that's where, they've lost their mind, if you will.
Well said. And I work for the Pac-12 Network calling college games. So I share your views. And when I express my opinion about what's going on, I'm always fascinated that people think that somehow we would root against our occupation, but we live in interesting times. Brett, as I mentioned, I've really enjoyed your work for many years. Congratulations on the latest scoops with the Mountain West and the MAC, and keep up the great work. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Brian.
Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium, part of the Sinclair Broadcast Group. Full disclosure, I do some work for Tennis Channel. French Open coming up, Adam Hawk. That'll wake him up. So they're also owned by Sinclair. And I woke up, old man Ritt. You out of candy there? I speak quickly, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I enunciate so much. So if I roll through McMurphy, and it sounded like McMurray, Fred McMurray, Double Indemnity, Adam Hawk, black and white movies, My Three Sons. Should I do the theme? Can you name that tune in two notes? Da-da-da-da. Uncle Charlie. I have my two sons here, although Ritz 90 years old. Can you imagine if you were my son? I don't even want to think about that. There's a reason why I don't answer the phone on Father's Day. I feel some ways paternalistic on a big word Tuesday when it comes to you, because I knew you years ago before you took off and blew past me in the media. But you're getting weirder by the day. I'm just worried, Adam, that we all live the gimmick in sports media. I don't over enunciate, unless I'm not aware of it, 24/7. That's why I slow down and say McMurphy. But you're becoming weirder and weirder, and I know the audience is always changing, especially if you're in the car. The executive producer of this program, who gives me as a fill-in host less than zero effort, decided it was a good idea today. Good idea today. Don't put on that helmet. I can't even get through it. I'm going to have to put paper over the glass, because every time you put on the Peloton helmet, I can't keep concentrating on a national show. Bicycle, my man, the executive producer of the program, got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, biked 21.1 miles to work. We could have had a show conference call as you were huffing and puffing, but that would require at least 1% worth of effort. And we're still wondering, and good luck to you, old man, how did you clean up when you got here? Well, sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer. So let's just go through the checklist now. The clones tell me you are fat. I'm not going to fat shame anybody, although I think the Shaq is looking pretty good today.
Fat!
Clearly, you're not intelligent. Less than zero, also your GPA.
There's no ceiling for my stupidity.
And now you have profound hygiene issues in the midst of a pandemic. Team Hawk. But buy a hat. NationGolf.co. No plugola. No payola. NationGolf.co. What is it? Doing a bit. Google it. NationCo.golf. How about this? You don't ride a bike to work, and I'll get the name of your company correct. Okay. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I'm taking a bath during this show. Straight ahead, more football conversation. We'll focus on the pros. Do the Ravens have a real shot at going undefeated? They are favored in every single game this year in the regular season. Looking forward to our latest conversation with Will Brinson, senior football writer, CBSSports.com. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle, CBS Sports Radio. Famer Jim Rome, you know the iconic phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Twitter, open for business with your observation, BW Weber. Let's keep the football momentum going. Shift our attention to the NFL with the regular season scheduled to start in just over a month. Always fun to bop around the league with a great friend of the jungle, Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. Be sure to check out the highly entertaining Pick 6 podcast. Will, I appreciate you taking the time. How are things with you?
Going great, Brian. I'm stepping into the jungle with Tweezer playing in the background. So
nice.
What more? I can't imagine telling 18-year-old me that was doing well, man.
Will, I think the problem is it's going to be cold.
It is going to be cold in the freezer. Right, that's right. That's right.
Come on, Will. I'm not as suburban as I sound and not as uptight as I look wearing this ridiculous getup on TV. Okay, I have to be authentic. I am one of the folks on the radio who has gone for the low-hanging fruit in the past, ripping preseason games as unwatchable, as a scam, ripping off. I know that's a loaded term, but being unfair to season ticket holders. Still, they do serve a purpose. Rosters are shaped by them, and backups have a chance to get some important reps. So what's your outlook for the quality of play when we get to the start of the regular season? Do you think there'll be an impact with no exhibition football?
Oh, yeah. I would expect that you're going to see some and I don't know if people complain about it because we actually have football happening, so people might be fine with it. But you are going to see some questionable football being played out of the gate, Brian. And my theory, you know, we've seen it since the new CBA has been put into effect and off-season, the ability to work with guys in the off-season and to game plan and the hours are reduced and all that. We've seen it. The first couple of weeks are like the advanced preseason. And so I think without the actual preseason, that's only going to be exacerbated when we start playing games. I'll say this, though. I think that what's going to be interesting to watch, and in my opinion, is a very likely trend that we could see early in the NFL year, is that teams who have continuity, specifically at quarterback, offensive coordinator, head coach, and on the offensive line, and teams that are interested in being run-heavy teams and simplifying their offenses for everyone involved, will probably have success out of the gate. I know there's not as much continuity in New England, but I think you see that with what Bill Belichick wants to do with the personnel that he's putting together there. The Seahawks, I think, will be in pretty good shape. The Saints should be in very good shape. There's not continuity at quarterback in Indianapolis, but the Colts are going to be very adept at running the football, and Phillip Rivers knows Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni's scheme. So I think you're going to see teams like that, and there's plenty more of them. The Cowboys have a compelling case with their run game. I think you're going to see teams that are able to simplify offenses and to basically keep it simple, stupid, will be able to have success early on because, yeah, there's going to be some sloppy play out of the gate.
Talking NFL with Will Brinson of CBSSports.com. You see him on CBS Sports HQ as well. To amplify that point, Baltimore can run the football behind the most mobile quarterback we've seen of this generation. I know you talk a lot about sports wagering. You know the Ravens are currently favored in every single game this season, including a matchup against the Chiefs in Baltimore. The spread isn't an evaluation of football talent. It's a gambling metric. But do you think there's a real possibility the Ravens could run the table, go undefeated in the regular season?
I mean, there's definitely a possibility. There's a possibility for everything, right?
Okay, how about real possibility? I chose that adjective with purpose there. What are the odds, Will?
I don't know, like probably 1%, maybe.
That's small, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think assuming that we play 16 games. Now, if we get down to 12 games or 8 games or something like that, obviously that caveat would flip this. I just think it's so difficult to get up for 16 consecutive games. We saw with the Ravens, too, they're willing to rest their starters if they get themselves in a good playoff position. And I think, you know, their division is tough. Ben Roethlisberger should be back, and if he's healthy, Pittsburgh will be a much more difficult team to deal with. The Browns, I think, are a very, very much improved team, particularly at the coaching position, where Kevin Stefanski is an automatic upgrade over Freddie Kitchens because he's not Freddie Kitchens. And the Bengals should be tougher, too. They got a bunch of guys back from injury. Jonah Williams, A.J. Green, and, of course, Joe Burrow in there. I think it's a really tough division. They've got some tough conference and non-con matchups on that schedule as well. So I don't think it will happen, but they're a great team. And I actually tend to think there's a little bit of value in Baltimore to win the Super Bowl because, people are so entranced with the Chiefs and, you know, people look at the shiny Buccaneers and all these different teams. They're sort of the Ravens. You know, I think they're getting a little bit discounted because Lamar Jackson has been one and done in the playoffs for two straight years, even though not necessarily a fault of his own.
Will, you touched on Buccaneer mania, and because I've been fortunate to sit in more than a few times for Jim Rome, I'm getting a little bit of fatigue talking about Tampa Bay and New England. Not a real problem to have, but I want to be a little bit more creative and move around the league, so what's your view of the Packers? Now, I know they got crushed in the NFC Championship game. I think San Francisco is still running over them right now. But it doesn't feel like there's been a ton of buzz surrounding Green Bay other than speculation about Aaron Rodgers' future because they invested a round one pick in Jordan Love. Do you anticipate Green Bay taking a step back this year?
Yeah, I think it's hard not to see them taking a step back. When you look at what Green Bay does, or what Green Bay did last year, excuse me, they were extremely lucky in one score games. There's an argument to be made that Aaron Rodgers had a good season and can do it again next year or do it again this year, and that, you know, he will be better in his second year in his offense. I just think that there are some schematic things that we saw in terms of weaknesses for the Packers. For instance, if you look at their three of their toughest games last year, or actually four of their tougher games technically, they had trouble with the Seahawks. They got blasted by the Chargers, and they got smoked by the 49ers twice. All three of those teams utilized sort of a cover three zone technique on defense. And it seems like maybe that's something that teams can exploit when going up against Matt LaFleur's offense. It's a weird spot because we've seen them, they drafted Aaron Rodgers when they had Brett Favre at this age, and that worked out very well for them. I hesitate just to kill him for the Jordan Love thing, but if you're going to be all in on Aaron Rodgers' prime, and presumably they are, or his later years, excuse me, presumably they are because they gave him a contract extension, why are you going to draft a quarterback in the first round with all those receivers available? Why are you going to go out and use the second round pick on a running back who's not great at catching passes and A.J. Dillon, who I love, but I just don't know that, I don't know that the picks they made sort of dovetail with the philosophy that we've seen from them the last 2 years. Are they in? Are they out? What's the play here? If Rodgers struggles early, is there a sort of a coup going on there? It's very perplexing. I think the one argument for the Packers continuing their success from last year would be that the division, frankly, doesn't look that good. Minnesota lost a lot of pieces on defense, including Michael Pierce, who opted out. He was supposed to replace Linval Joseph. That's a problem. Daniil Hunter's a stud, but I'm just not sure how much pass rush they can engineer with just him there and no Everson Griffin. And then in the secondary, they're full of young guys. So that's concerning. I think the Lions are a sneaky team to sort of jump up and steal that division.
No, mark the tape. Right. The Lions are going to jump up and win that division?
I don't think it's out of the question. I really don't. I think the Lions, Matthew Stafford's got to play 16 games for it to happen.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Stafford could. He could play 16 games.
Now he's got a back issue. How many people bounce back from a real serious back problem?
Well, I had one a couple of years ago. No, you're right. No, I'm not saying it's
Will,
like
write this down. Will, write this down. Lions have not won a championship since 1957. Their last playoff win was 1991.
All right, fine. You got me.
Okay,
Lions
I play the hits.
Lions win the division. I'm all in. Let's go.
All right.
I like the odds on the Lions winning it in terms of the Vegas odds.
Okay, yeah. If you find value, that's fine. But football analysis, a little different.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think they're a sneaky team to pop up, but it's probably not likely. And then the Bears have to figure out the quarterback situation. My point being is that this division, it was probably really good last year, it might stink this year. And I don't think any of those teams necessarily got substantially better in the offseason. So I think that's sort of the path to Green Bay repeating what they had last year. But I would expect them to take some kind of step back from 13-3. They were not a 13-3 team last year, according to the advanced metrics. They're, maybe 9-10 wins, best case for them, I think.
Will, thank you for enduring my latest Lion rant. One of my best friends from Michigan, and it's been ingrained in my head. So you say Lions, I just rattle off all of the arcane 1957, 1991. That was unfair to you, especially because you're a great friend of the program.
Your response to anyone saying the Lions could win the division should always be, you're a moron. I have no problem with the response.
Will, I enjoy the conversation as always. As we say goodbye, if you need to head into the freezer, I'm your Iceman. George Gervin, filling in for Jim Rome.
See you, Brian. Good to talk to you, man.
Drop the mic, baby. There goes Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. And my apologies if you're in the Motor City. I got real issues with Alliance. In part because the Ford family has run them about as well as they've run Ford Motors, and Matt Patricia should never have gotten that job. Take a look at what Jim Caldwell did in his last year compared to that unkempt beard on the sidelines in recent years. Okay, we front-loaded the program by design, made the executive decision to go heavy with guests early on, meaning Adam Hawk now hopefully can wake up a little bit after he needed to have a restful hiatus early in the program after biking 21.1 miles to work. No more guests until an hour from now. We'll wrap up the show with more football analysis. Looking forward to our latest dialogue with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, meaning there are plenty of opportunities for you to get involved. More of your tweets at BW Weber. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. I will do my best to get through the rest of the program in articulate fashion so long as Hawk does not put on that helmet. I can't even look over there. Let me try to pull off this forward promotion. Coming up, back to the NBA. The defending champions from Toronto now have a better record than Kawhi Leonard and the Clips. Do the Raptors have a better chance than LA of winning it all? We will hit the hardwood. That's on the way. But first, let's get you a sports update. Bob Huesler has all the...
With guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Getting closer to the business end of the program. Just one more guest along the way. An hour from now, more NFL conversation with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. 20 minutes from now or so, we'll kick off that last hour of the program, returning to college football. Still waiting for official word from the Big Ten with their university presidents meeting again today. There's now more conventional wisdom saying that perhaps we'll get a reprieve from the postponing of the fall slate of sports, foremost among them football. The Big Ten may announce later today, if there is an announcement, that they will be rescheduling things, pushing back the start of their conference-only schedule from early September to the end of the month, lining up with the SEC and the Pac-12. Pac-12 university officials, the leaders of the conference, we're talking chancellors, the CEOs, if you will, meeting today. There could be an announcement from the Conference of Champions with a reminder, I work for them as an independent contractor, he said smoothly. Pac-12 networks, I don't speak for the conference, but there could be an announcement from the Pac-12 today about their football future. Will they be the first to make the announcement that they're postponing the season, pushing it back to the spring, or will they say, we continue to evaluate things, take all the data points, and we're going to have to wait and see. That's coming up in 15 minutes. NBA thoughts on the way. 1-800-636-8686, the phone number. More of your tweets at BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, and now Adam Hawk just openly defying the fill-in host. He's wearing the bike helmet for the rest of the program. If you're just joining us, it's not breaking news. It's not even particularly interesting. Once more, my man is getting weirder by the day. Hawk got up at 3 o'clock in the morning because he wanted to give me less than zero effort and intensity and biked 21.1 miles to work. We don't think there was a shower involved in the post-race celebration. More tweets. Husker Rocker. Yo, Weber. Good interview with McMurphy. Brick problem here is everyone is making decisions out of fear and concerns over litigation. Let players sign waivers. And regarding Nebraska, they should play as an independent. Gotta try at least. Two problems there. NCAA has already said, and this was a byproduct of their interaction with Congress, there can be no COVID waivers this year. You can't do that because the players are not being compensated. You can do that with professionals. You can do it at a workplace. Theoretically, this is an amateur setting. And then secondly, Nebraska is not going anywhere because there are contracts not only between the member institutions of a Power Five conference, the media deals, as importantly, Fox and Disney. Fox owning 50% of the Big Ten network, Disney controlling the ESPN family of networks, wrote big checks to the Big Ten based on the current membership. They're not just going to say, okay, Scott Frost, I understand you and your players want to compete. That's fine. We'll tear up these contracts. Not going to happen. I can understand wanting to compete. I get it. And for the 30th time, I'm not rooting against my own self-interest because I work in the college sports space. If there's no college sports, the rent becomes tricky. But at least for now, if we're looking for hope, no final decisions have been made. So maybe we get to a place in late September, although remember the ACC scheduled to kick in early September. But let's just take it as cliched as it is. Day by day, maybe we get to late September and we're able to see some college football. But you know all of the potential obstacles on that path to kickoff. A couple more tweets. Darren Kuna, not as optimistic. RIP 2020 college football. One for R. War Weber with two Bs firing up the fax machine. I could use that. Finally, Canadian Hitman. Showers are highly overrated. Hawk, signed, Portland the Woman.
Well, you know what? We got this phenomenon up here in Oregon, and I call it Portland Woman. Portland Woman, she doesn't shave, she doesn't clean up. They put her on TV. Turn on any Portland channel with a local show. You'll find Portland Woman showing off her stuff, gray hair, no makeup, all the wrinkles to boot, and the clothing is something else. You can see the stain. So, anyways, to Portland Woman, please, please, do us all a favor and clean it up. That's all I got, Romy.
Goes for our executive producer as well. First step, and I may bring you on in the final hour of the program. First step is don't get on a bike at 3 o'clock in the morning. Second step, maybe care about the program. Third step, respect your coworkers, even the independent contractor today. You are getting kookier by the day. Okay, this is a sports program. Let's get back to the NBA conversation because we're closing in on the start of the postseason. The play-in gimmick will be used in the West. And I'm not going to run through all of the scenarios, but it's looking like if Memphis can win just one game, and they've only won a single game so far, they can win one more with two games to play. They're probably the eight. Portland, if they win their last two, they're the nine. And we got 9 versus 8 on Saturday. If Portland wins that game, then it's winner take all on Sunday. And now you know the rest of the story. We've been spending a lot of time on the West because I just think it's much more interesting, specifically all of the possible first-round playoff matchups, namely Lakers-Blazers. I don't think the Lakers lose that, but they'll be extended and they'll be tested, and Lakers better hope that the reduction of offensive efficiency since they clinched the top seed in the West is just a hiccup, and maybe if you're a Laker fan, you're feeling better based on what you saw at the end of the game last night, although you also have to wonder, why was it so tight? And I respect Denver, but why did that game come down to the final possession when it was Kyle Kuzma, of all people, knocking down the game-winning three with less than a second to go? Still, that does address one of the primary concerns for the purple and gold. Beyond LeBron, who's going to show up when it matters, and hopefully, if you're a Laker fan, more consistency from Anthony Davis, who was good last night. The issue in the bubble has been all or nothing at all. Either he's going off for 30 points and a dozen rebounds, or he's a non-factor. Who is the third option? I don't believe it's really Kuzma when we get to high-leverage situations, but perhaps that was foreshadowing. Either way, good to see the Lakers showing a semblance of offensive rhythm in a game they showed up for and tried to win. Other matchups when we get to the playoffs beyond the play-in mechanism, Clippers and Mavs. Oh, my goodness. Luka Doncic, just a triple-double machine. Clips need one more win to lock up the two seed. Nuggets, Jazz, spicy, but if we're just looking for combustible pairings, Rockets and Thunder, and all that comes with that. Chris Paul, when he puts down the phone calling the snitch line, matching up against his old team, Russell Westbrook, James Harden now, the highest scoring duo in modern NBA history post-merger. That's just the first round. East, I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't think most of the matchups are that sexy. But where the East gets interesting is the war of attrition moving forward because we had the exhibitions, we had these seeding games, which were a cash grab, sending the 22 teams to the bubble to satisfy their local TV contracts to get paid. Now we have an entire NBA postseason. Remember the old tagline on Turner Sports? 40 days and 40 nights. They'll stretch it out to minimize back-to-backs. But We've already got just the daily grind of playing basketball becoming more of a factor in the bubble. Giannis couldn't play last night for Milwaukee. They lost to Toronto because Greek Freak was dealing with some teeth issues. Had a check in with an oral surgeon available at Disney World. Hopefully it wasn't goofy. Thank you very much. And Toronto didn't have a full complement of players. Lowry out. Ibaka didn't play. Fred VanVleet didn't go. But Toronto still won the game. And they should be getting much more consideration to win it all. I know it's not a sexy pick. I know we are nationalistic when it comes to all of sports. But if you've been paying attention, and it's challenging this year because it's been a weird year, the Raptors have a better record heading into the postseason than they did last year with Kawhi Leonard, remembering they rested him a ton. But this is a team we should be talking about with their depth. Better depth than Boston, my pick out of the East, and championship experience guided by Nick Nurse, who is probably going to be the head coach of the year in the association and one of the brightest basketball minds we've seen in recent memory. So, because this is my last filling opportunity, I will spin it forward. It's going to come down to Toronto coming out of the East. Bad news to want to keep the Freak heading into his walk year. And then it's the Clippers coming out of the West, beating the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. All about depth. It's going to be the Kawhi Leonard load management NBA Finals. And the Clippers, with V. Stiviano on the podium, we'll win it all. Coming up, final hour of the program. Much more college football on the way. Is this the most important week in the modern history of the sport? That's next on CBS Sports Radio.